the president of Cricket South Africa, Chris Nenzani, on the line with us. Mr. President, good evening. Welcome to the Ultimate Sports Show, firstly.
Good evening, Udo, from the very cold Eastern Cape.
Yeah, I think it's cold all over the country at the moment. I can promise you that much.
Yes.
Mr. President, I want to ask you the big decision, the future of the Proteas coach. For South Africans who don't understand, it's not one person sitting in an office that makes this decision. Whose responsibility is it to make that decision of who coaches the Proteas?
It is the responsibility of the board. And you would be perhaps aware that we started this process some time ago, where we put a panel together, and that panel did what needed to be done in terms of advertising, shortlisting, interviewing candidates, and making a recommendation to the board. But these things, although they take their own time, and you need to make sure that you dot your I's and cross your T's properly, so that when you make an announcement, you're making a certainty.
All right.
You don't make a premature announcement.
So sometimes
these things can be frustrating in terms of the slowness of the process, but you need to be patient.
All right. So in terms of that board, and just to share with our listeners, these are individuals like Norman Arendse, Rian Richards, Opa Nkagisang, Gary Kirsten, Eric Simons. They would have sat down. They would have then taken those interviews with, as I understand it, 8 candidates who put their hands up for this. The process of interviewing is done. Is the process from the coaching selection panel, the process of making the recommendation, is that done? Is the board, in other words, sitting with that recommendation?
That has been done, and that recommendation has come before the board, and the board has received that recommendation, and we are in the process of actioning upon that recommendation.
So in terms of that recommendation, is it one name, a series of names that you as the board have to make a decision on?
We received a recommendation from the panel, where the panel said this is the one that we recommend for appointment. But also you will have options. In the event that you don't reach an agreement of some kind with this one, then you have an option to go to the next one. So that is why I'm saying it would be premature for us to make an announcement, because you need to make sure that you cover all the bases, and then you don't make an announcement and before time, so that if you cannot get into agreement with your preferred candidate, then you still allow yourself time to go to the next candidate.
Fully understand that part of the process, but if the test skipper faces the media coming back from England, he would have been briefed by the communications department of Cricket South Africa. He goes on record, he says, we have been told that Otis Gibson is the preferred candidate. So in terms of the recommendation, this one name that you mentioned, I mean, it's no secret then that it is Otis Gibson who's that one recommendation.
Unfortunately, Udo, I cannot take responsibility as to who briefed him. I don't know who briefed him. And I cannot therefore take that responsibility, because at that stage we were where we are now in terms of negotiating processes and going through some loops, some hoops that you need to cover. I cannot say who informed him. I don't know who informed him, and I'm not sure what would be the basis for that person to do that kind of information. Informing the captain.
Then let me maybe ask the question in a slightly different way. Given what you know in terms of where the process is now, was it wrong for Faf du Plessis to go and confirm on public record in front of the media that Otis Gibson is the preferred candidate?
Unfortunately, I don't want to say, I don't want to express an opinion on that, because I would not know what would have been the circumstances under which he might have made that announcement. I'm not sure if he did make an announcement. I'm not sure whether he might have stated what he had seen in the newspapers or in the media. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we played the clip just before we had a chat with Ashwell Prince, where he quite clearly says, we have been told by our bosses, by the powers, that he is the one that he is the recommended coaching candidate. So mm-hmm. so I just want to clear it. In terms of your position as CSA president at the beginning of August, you would not have been privy about the fact that Faf du Plessis would go out into the media world and confirm that.
No, I wouldn't. Because the process at this stage, and at that stage even, is still controlled within, because we want to make sure that we do what needs to be done.
Mm.
And remember, there's a lot of issues that you need to cover here.
Yeah.
You don't need to talk to one person, you need to talk to a number of people.
Mm.
And you need to ensure that by the time you make that announcement, you have done everything that needed to be done. And you are not going to put yourself or any other individual at a situation where they will have to face very, very awkward questions.
Unfortunately, in the absence of any further information, in the absence of an announcement, I think you would understand that we're all sitting here. We've heard from Jeffrey Toyana saying that he's had a chat with Russell Domingo. They both thought the process would be done and dusted and they would know by now. So unfortunately, we're all sitting in a situation where we want to know what is happening. So from that point of view, I understand all the important people that need to still be considered and consultations that need to take place. When realistically will we have the announcement of this individual?
Let me tell you openly, Udo, that I was hoping that by Friday last week we would have made the announcement. But unfortunately, we're not at the stage where we would have been comfortable to make that announcement. So it could happen anytime. You know contracting issues. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're mm-hmm. quite aware about those issues. So it would happen at any time. I was quite confident from the briefings that I've been getting that we could have made the announcement by last week, Friday.
But now, what I'm trying to understand, if you, leading up to last Friday, had a sense that, you know what, deal is in the bag, then somebody from the office would have come to you as president and said, you know what, terms have been agreed, but there are a couple of sticking points. Prior to last Friday, did you at least get to that point where somebody from Arun Logat's office confirmed to you, terms have been agreed, but there are sticking points?
The message was that we are hoping to agree terms by Friday morning. And hoping being the operative word.
So in other words, the fact that the announcement did not come through means that terms have still not been agreed with the preferred candidate.
That definitely. That does not mean that there's a problem. But it means that these are dynamics of negotiation.
If anything, I suppose we'll have to wait until the end of the England 3-match test series against the Windies before this announcement is officially made, Chris Nenzani?
I don't know. But as soon as we are ready from our side, we'll make the announcement and identify the coach that we're going to appoint.
We're heading into the final week of August, and then we have a month before the test series starts against Bangladesh. That announcement, is it something which you think will come through in September or still sometime before the end of this month?
As I said to you, that we were hoping to make it next last week, Friday, so it indicates to me that it's imminent at any given point in time. Once we reach finality, once we reach agreement, once we're comfortable, we'll do make the announcement.
All right. And then just...
It's going to be sooner than later.
Okay. Then just in wrapping up, because the focus obviously in the media has been around Otis Gibson. Prior to that story breaking in the middle of the test series, the focus was on each of the other individual candidates who, in order, confirmed that they had applied for the job. As the president of CSA and the board, I gather you would have given that selection panel some kind of mandate as to what kind of coach they need to look for.
Yes, we had.
And what did that mandate, that brief, contain? What kind of coach should they have been looking for?
We gave them an open mandate. To say that we want a national team coach,
mm-hmm.
who's going to be able to manage the dynamics of a South African team. And secondly, somebody who's going to lead us in order to dominate world cricket, and to an extent that we begin to even dominate international ICC tournaments. And somebody who's going to develop players, give them opportunities, who's going to be sensitive to the demographics of this country, somebody who's going to be in a position to inspire confidence in the players, somebody who will also understand that this is a team that needs to be nurtured, because if you look at our team, basically it's a team in transition, and therefore you need somebody who's going to be able to manage those dynamics and also at the same time perform and win. So we said go, and also as if you look at that panel, there were two former Protea coaches there.
Sure.
And the reason for that is very simple. To ensure that you have that kind of skill set, people know what is required at that level. I'm sure you will not want the president to appoint a coach and interview candidates. So we wanted them to come and say, this is the kind of person that we think is ready to lead South Africa. Because they've been there, they know what is expected, and they understand. They might not be currently coaching at any international level, but they surely as coaches, they are quite aware as to what are the new trends in the game. That's why we put them in.
If I may just, as we're wrapping up, just add, when Peter de Villiers was famously hailed as the Bok coach pick for reasons other than rugby, I just wondered if that had happened to him, and whatever the conversations were behind closed doors, was any of that part of your brief to that coaching selection panel? And we're talking specifically here about a focus on transformation as lived out through the decision as to who the coach of the Protea should be.
Unfortunately, you cannot single one aspect and say this is your mandate. And you cannot, in any given point, I'm not sure whether it is possible in rugby, but I played rugby for quite a lot. So I don't think it would be possible to appoint a coach other than a rugby reason. I don't know what they did, but we cannot appoint a coach other than a cricketing reason. That it, even in the assessment criteria that we put in place, that would be the bulk of the assessment focus.
All right.
On performance. And then other issues are contextual issues which you cannot ignore. But the focus is appointing a cricketing coach, a cricket coach. That we need to consider creating reasons.
President of CSA, Chris Nenzani, I thank you very much for availing yourself on short notice.